Moscow or any other organizations. In other words, they're my opinions or my interpretations of events. And this week, we had as guest, we had a scheduled guest from the Buffalo Field Campaign. And due to some logistics, doesn't look like we're going to be able to have them on the radio today. Nonetheless, we're going to talk about a little bit about the temporary restraining order that was handed down by a federal judge on behalf of the group Alliance for the Wild Rockies that stopped the use of helicopters hazing buffalo. But another species was the reason why that TRO was issued. And so we'll jump into that issue a little bit. We're also going to get into the Sportsman's Heritage Act today and why it's very, very important if you love big wild areas, designated wilderness areas like the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, why it's very important for you to contact your senators and others. And so we'll get into the Sportsman's Heritage Act a little bit after the into the show. We're going to talk about roadless areas. Specifically, the Kelly Creek roadless area. Had lunch with some friends today that just got back from a trip into the Kelly Creek, up the Kelly Creek drainage, up around the Hanson Meadows area, and I'm pretty excited. I'm going to actually be going up there this weekend too, and so there you go. Tis the season. We're going to talk about buffalo. We're going to talk about grizzly bears. We're going to talk about Kelly Creek roadless area, and then we might even read a chapter from A Road Runs Through It, the book that we've shared with you in previous shows. So nonetheless, let's take a short music break. And this is Good Shield Aguiar. Name of the track is Origin. And Good Shield played at the University of Idaho. He opened up the Buffalo Field Campaign event at the university for those of you that were able to attend it. That was back probably in February or March. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to the Wild Clear Water Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
Remind us so we won't forget our origin.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. You're listening to KRFP Moscow. And check out KRFP Moscow at www.krfp.org. Friends of the Clearwater and the Wild Clearwater Country Show have been a part of the radio station for probably close to 7 years now, and certainly we always try and tip our cap to our hosts, so to speak. Everyone in here works really hard, and so we need your help in numerous ways to keep your grassroots bottom-up community radio station on the airwaves. So check them out, www.krfp.org, and see how you can get involved and make a difference. So today we had planned to have a call-in guest from Montana. A woman was going to call in that works for the Buffalo Field Campaign, and unfortunately that interview fell through. So I'm going to try and make that up to you and reschedule someone with the Buffalo Field Campaign maybe later this summer. A little flashback from event this spring. Actually, it was more like it was in the winter. We had Mike Meese and a couple of other folks with the Buffalo Field Campaign come into town and give a really eye-popping presentation about the abusive hazing that occurs in and around, it actually occurs inside, as we'll learn here, but mostly outside of Yellowstone National Park. Right around this time every year, it's usually in May when the hazing begins. The livestock industry pretty much has a stranglehold on our public lands in the West here. They have for over a century, you could say, and by no means am I demonizing all ranchers. I'm talking about it as an industry, as the whole enchilada. And nonetheless, the Montana livestock industry is a very powerful group, very well politically connected. And every year, right around the time of May, they're not happy with the fact that wild buffalo, the buffalo coming from Yellowstone National Park, are grazing and feeding and eating and hanging out in lower elevations on the national forest land that surround Yellowstone National Park. And the reason why the ranchers, the majority, or the industry itself has a problem with bison being on our public lands is they scream bloody murder, a.k.a. brucellosis, which has never been documented to be spread from wild buffalo to cattle. While they are screaming brucellosis, transferring of diseases that will lead to the abortion of their young and cattle, in my opinion, since there's no scientific documentation of brucellosis being transferred from bison to domestic livestock, that it's really about competition for food. If there's a lot of bison out on the range come May, and right around that same time when the livestock industry is starting to put out their summer herds, well, there's only so much grass out there, and there's a lot of it. But one way to have more grass for your cattle is to get the buffalo off there. So it's a really troubling situation. That's kind of a skin and bones interpretation of what's been going on out there for over a decade. And this year, though, there was a whole new twist. And the headline here is federal judge halts low-level helicopter bison hazing to protect Yellowstone grizzlies. Now, Federal District Court Judge Charles Lavelle granted the Alliance for the Wild Rockies request for a temporary restraining order, a TRO, on May 14th to halt the use of helicopters to haze bison back into Yellowstone National Park. The Alliance successfully contended that the low-level overflights harass grizzly bears in violation of the Endangered Species Act. This is from Mike Garrity, Executive Director of the Alliance for the Wild Rockies, who, by the way, we have had as a guest on this show. It's well-known science that low-level overflights by helicopters harm and harass grizzly, and the Yellowstone grizzly bear is currently listed as a threatened species under the ESA. Moreover, the Yellowstone bison hazing flights over occupied grizzly bear habitat are within the designated Yellowstone grizzly bear recovery zone. We provided Judge Lavelle with video footage proving that Yellowstone grizzlies flee in terror when low-level helicopters come into their habitat. According to the Forest Service's and National Park Service's own scientific literature review, helicopters cause grizzly bears to panic and flee in nearly all cases, and the bears never become tolerant of helicopters, even with infrequent exposure. This from the judge. Quote, it is hereby ordered that defendants and each, all, and any of them are hereby temporarily restrained from conducting further bison helicopter hazing operations in the targeted Hebgen Basin area pending further order of this court. So, you know that saying, think outside of the box? Well, kudos to the Alliance for the Wild Rockies and the Buffalo Field Campaign and citizens and others for thinking outside of the box and getting the hazing of wild buffalo with helicopters, putting a stop to that. I mean, just what a despicable act. And the fact that the National Park Service and the Montana Department of Livestock and the state of Montana and the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the fact that all those turkeys let that stuff go on is a crime. It is a crime against you, the taxpayer and the public landowner, that a special interest group like that, okay, like the livestock industry, actually has the ability to make a phone call and say, hey, we're getting helicopters put up in the air, and we're going to fly them over national forest land, which is owned by you, public landowners, and more importantly, is a landscape for wildlife and fish and birds and other animals, and that they're using these helicopters to pretty much hover on top of the bison and drive them for miles back into the national park. Really, really disturbing event. And so the hazing went on. I don't want to mislead you and say, oh, so the hazing of buffalo discontinued completely. No, helicopters were removed from the picture, and the hazing continued, from what I understand, using motorized vehicles, horseback, humans, and eventually they were driven back into the park. And believe it or not, here's another shocking statistic, or not statistic, but fact, is that the hazing continues once the bison are inside the park. They're hazed for a couple miles, I think anywhere between 3 and 6 miles into the national park. I mean, just... I'm not one that's into political lines when we're talking about wildlife and ecology and conservation, but the fact that the livestock industry is allowed, and even if the Park Service takes it over at the border, the fact that they're just inhumanely driving wildlife using who knows what once they're inside the national park to drive bison and their newborn calves miles into the park. I mean, that's supposed to be a safe haven for wildlife. I mean, it's one of the best conservation tools we have, our national park. So nonetheless, to learn more about the Buffalo Field Campaign, check them out at www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. The Buffalo Field Campaign is the only group working 365 days a year to protect the only continuously wild, free-roaming, and genetically intact population of wild buffalo in the United States. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers defend the buffalo in their native habitat and document every move against them. And also check out more with Alliance for the Wild Rockies. Check them out at... www.wildrockiesalliance.org. And their mission statement is to secure the ecological integrity of the Wild Rockies bioregion through citizen empowerment and the application of conservation biology, sustainable economic models, and environmental law. So hats off. Way to think outside of the box. The next step in that whole saga is to end hazing on public land, hazing of buffalo on public lands, period. Just period. Just exclamation point. And so, and we'll see. We'll try, and Friends of the Clearwater and others will certainly try and maybe bring Buffalo Field Campaign not only on the radio later this summer, but maybe back into the community next spring. So, now, how many of you have heard about the Sportsman's Heritage Act? When we get back, we're going to read a recent letter to the editor that appeared in a local newspaper, and also tell you why you need to take action on this attempt to repeal the Wilderness Act. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show.
Imminent, turbulence inevitable. For it is the way of creation and perpetual balance, chaos in beauty. Awake now and carry the responsibilities of endlessness, messengers of timelessness. Infinity. The future of the past and the rebirth of the next world to be. May Earth's children heed the messengers, the ones who bring the voices of the past, for they are the voices of our ancestors who belong to the future and will welcome you around the fire of destiny, the fire without an end. Yeah.
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Wanted to talk to you all about the Sportsman's Heritage Act. A number of some letters to the editor have started appearing in the newspaper, and about people voicing their concerns about this deceitful legislation right now. And on April 17th, 2012, the U.S. House of Representatives passed H.R. 4089, the deceptively named Sportsman's Heritage Act, supposedly to, quote, protect and enhance opportunities for recreational hunting, fishing, and shooting. The bill is actually a thinly disguised measure to gut the 1964 Wilderness Act and protections for every unit of the National Wilderness Preservation System. The Senate version of this bill, S-2066, has not had a hearing yet. While the language in that bill is a bit different, the disastrous result would be similar. No surprise, both of Idaho's senators are sponsors of the Senate version, S-2066. So what would H.R. 4089 do? It would give hunting, fishing, shooting, and fish and wildlife management top priority in wilderness, rather than protecting the wilderness character and wilderness values, as is currently the case. This bill would allow endless, extensive habitat manipulations in wilderness under the guise of, quote, wildlife conservation, for providing hunting, fishing, and recreational shooting experiences. It would allow the construction of roads to facilitate such uses. It would allow the construction of dams, buildings, or other structures within wildernesses. Specifically, it strips away the Wilderness Act's prohibitions on the use of motorized and mechanized vehicles, motorboats and aircrafts, other motorized equipment. For example, this would allow for any hunter, angler, or recreational shooter to drive their ATV in wilderness as long as they were engaged in one of these activities. So in other words, some yahoo can be on his motorcycle and decide to go into the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. As long as he has a fishing rod with him, according to this act, it's completely legal. If this all isn't enough, the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service points out that because Section 104C of the bill bars application of the National Environmental Policy Act, none of these activities will need to go any environmental review for their impacts on wilderness values, wildlife, or threatened endangered species. That means if there's no NEPA, there's no public comment period, there's no possibility to appeal, and there's certainly no possibility to litigate. Kind of reminds you of that Wolf Rider, doesn't it? Just kind of slap it on the back end of a must-pass spending bill. Bill's about 2,000 pages deep. There's no way any Dick, Jane, or Harry in the Senate's going to read through the whole thing, nor is their aide or aides. And they sign off on it. And then it becomes law. So what can you do to help repeal or to stop this Sportsman's Heritage Act? Please write or call Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, and Senator Jeff Bingaman, the Chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Ask Senators Reid and Bingaman to oppose H.R. 49 and S-2066 every step of the way. You can get in touch with Senator Harry Reid. Pick up the phone. Call his office in Washington, D.C., 202-224-3542. Again, Senator Harry Reid, who's the majority leader in the Senate, give him a buzz at 202-224-3542. Call Senator Jeff Bingaman, who's the chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. You can call Jeff at 202-224-5521. Again, 202-224-5521. Talking points. Environmental review under the National Environmental Policy Act, a.k.a. NEPA, must not be waived by H.R. 4089. H.R. 4089 and S-2066 would allow agencies to build roads and use motor vehicles in wilderness, construct dams, buildings, and other structures with any connection to fish and wildlife. Massive human manipulations of fish, wildlife, and habitat should not be allowed in our precious wildernesses, or they will cease to be wilderness. Basically, oppose H.R. 4089 and Senate Bill 2066 because they gut the Wilderness Act and strip protection from every single unit of the National Wilderness Preservation System across the country. Now, Let's see here. I wanted to pull up this letter to the editor. Pardon me. Let's see here. Ketchum Mountain Express. I typed this in. I believe it appeared in the newspaper today. And here we go. Let's see here. I'm about to locate it. Okay. And it doesn't like that. Why don't you like that? Let's see here. Newspaper. No, let's try it again. All right. Let's see if we can pull up this letter here. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. That's all right. Well, it was a pretty good letter. And it was written by someone from Moscow, Idaho. And it just talked more about the Sportsman's Heritage Act. Nonetheless, another very good source to learn more about the Sportsman's Heritage Act is Wilderness Watch, www.wildernesswatch.org. And certainly, we have had George Nickus, Executive Director of Wilderness Watch, here on the radio show. And they've been working overtime, so to speak, trying to get the Senate to block this legislation. So, or you can give a call to Friends of the Clearwater at 882-9755, 882-9755, ask to speak with Gary. You could even speak with Brett. And so Friends of the Clearwater is a good source. Wilderness Watch, they're out of Missoula, Montana. They're at wildernesswatch.org. And then, like I said, call Senator Jeff Bingaman at 202-224-5521. Or Senator Harry Reid at 202-224-3542. And the Sportsman's Heritage Act has passed the House. And last I read, one of our favorites here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, Senator Jim Risch, is now considering or entertaining the idea of attaching S-2066, which is a very, very similar version of H.R. 4089. Good old Jimmy Risch is thinking about attaching this as a rider to an upcoming must-pass farm bill. So it's spooky. It is very spooky how similar it is to how wolves were delisted from the Endangered Species Act. And you know, I was sitting at home and just thinking, I mean, this epitomizes why our politics and our federal government is broken. Congress, I think intentionally no longer tries to get anything done. And then at the last second, they throw it all together into an incredibly large spending bill or omnibus package. And it's jammed and rammed with so much stuff that no one knows what the heck is in there. They just got a clue. They got an idea, the overall theme of the bill. And they sign off on it. And they, at the 11th hour, they avoid gridlock. At the 11th hour, at 11:59, they avoid a government shutdown. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what type of politics we're talking about here. In this case, we're talking about wildland politics. We're going to continue, in my opinion, we're going to continue to see acts or legislation being attached on riders because congressmen and special interest groups now know it works. They know they can get away with it, so we're going to see more of it. There's no reason to hash out the specifics of legislation if you can attach it on a must-pass spending bill at the 11th hour and kind of tuck it way deep on page 1,399, you know, out of 2,000 pages. No one knows it's there. And if they do, they really don't care because there's another 1,398 pages that they're just as worried about. You know, or they're trying to, you know, cover the bases. So, big problems. But let's we need your help to defeat the Sportsman's Heritage Act. We're talking about protecting places like the Gospel Hump Wilderness, the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, the Frank Church Wilderness, the Sawtooth Wilderness. And for that fact, any wilderness unit around the United States, we're trying to protect them from allowing roads to be built, from allowing motorized recreation, doesn't matter if it's a motorcycle or it's a jet boat or if it's a four-wheeler, into wilderness. We're talking about preventing the Forest Service from thinning and or conducting logging operations inside a wilderness to benefit ungulates, to benefit elk. We're talking about by defeating the Sportsman's Heritage Act, you are preventing the ability of the Idaho Fish and Game to go into a fishing hole, a favorite place of yours, to fish in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, and to poison it, to kill the native fish and plant it with exotic so that they can sell more fishing tags and brag about, oh, there's more fish in that lake now. So we're talking about some incredibly horrific habitat manipulations, human disturbance and intrusion into some of the only big and wild places left in the country. So we need to take action on the Sportsman's Heritage Act. You need to get in touch with groups like Wilderness Watch in Missoula, Friends of the Clearwater in Montana, Alliance for the Wild Rockies in Helena. Or, just as importantly, you want to get in touch with Senator Jeff Bingaman over in Washington, D.C. Jeff is the chair, Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, 202-224-5521. And if you have had any faith in people like Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, call him up at 202-224-3542. So, hey, 4:30, you're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. It's good to be with you here on a Wednesday. And let's take another short music break. And maybe I'll be able to find that letter to the editor. And then I think we'll jump into Kelly Creek, give you a riveting and inspiring description of the vast 250,000-acre Kelly Creek roadless area and why you should check it out this summer. Why you should spend time in it, and why it's so worthy of wilderness designation. You're listening to KRFP Moscow.
Just need some different trees, but we are
All right, that's my man, Good Shield, Aguiar. And name of that track was Stardust. And Good Shield, he opened up the Buffalo Field Campaign show or program at the University of Idaho. This was probably back in February or March. And so we were hoping to have Buffalo Field Campaign on the radio today as a call-in guest, but logistically it just didn't work out, so we're going to try and get them back on the radio later this summer. And happy solstice, everyone. It's the longest day of the year. And so what I am encouraging you to do is to stay up late tonight to hang out with friends and loved ones, to maybe do a naked dance in your yard, celebrate the sun and the fact that it's the longest and lightest day of the year. I want you to do something to celebrate nature when you get off work, whether it's a hike, a bike ride, maybe do yoga in your backyard, maybe cook up a special meal, have some friends over. But tonight, today is a day to give thanks, to recognize just how lucky we are to have such this incredible green, blue, life-giving planet, despite all of the horrible things we've done to it over the hundreds of years. So happy solstice to everyone. Have a good time tonight, and give back to Earth in whatever way is special and meaningful to you. Now, I found the letter to the editor. Wilderness Defenders Needed. Ed Abbey once said, "The idea of wilderness needs no defense, only defenders." This rings true more than ever as the Republican-controlled House recently passed the Sportsman's Heritage Act, H.R. 4089. The Senate is prepared to vote on a similar bill, S-2066. The Sportsman's Heritage Act would gut the Wilderness Act 1964 and turn places like the Selway, Bitterroot, and Frank Church Wilderness into game farms for hunters, trappers, fishermen, and motorized recreationists. Disguised as wildlife conservation, the legislation would permit public land managers to build roads and permanent structures in wilderness to accommodate outfitters. It would allow any motorhead in the state to take a motorcycle or four-wheeler into the wilderness as long as they have a fishing rod or rifle with them. It gets better. The bill would give managers the green light to allow thinning and logging within wilderness, all in the name of improving elk habitat. Helicopters would be permitted to land in the middle of wilderness so that wildlife could be tranquilized and collared. Your favorite fishing hole could be poisoned, an exotic fish planted to increase angling opportunities. All management actions would be exempt from the National Environmental Policy Act, meaning public input, appeals, and litigation would be stripped. Please contact Senator Jeff Bingaman, Democrat from New Mexico, who is the chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and tell him this legislation must be blocked. Don't waste your breath with Idaho Senators Crapo and Risch. They are co-sponsors. So there was a recent letter to the editor that appeared here in the Moscow Pullman Daily News. That person was from Moscow. So if you want to get in touch with Senator Jeff Bingaman, 202-224-5521, call his D.C. office and tell him, no, I do not want to see Senate Bill 2066 passed, and I do not want to see my wilderness areas become game farms. So very important stuff. All right. Now, so speaking of roads and wilderness and wildlife, roads destroy wilderness. Roads facilitate resource development. Roads obliterate habitat. They fragment habitat and create artificial edges, eliminating wilderness-dependent and forest interior species. They create erosion and mass slope failures that clog streams. They facilitate air and noise pollution. Road dust covers plants, reducing photosynthesis. Road cuts disrupt groundwater flows. Road cuts and road shoulders are avenues for noxious weed invasions. Precipitation evaporates from road pavement instead of percolating into the ground. Roads provide access for slob hunters, poachers, off-road vehicles, and litter bugs. In short, in most situations, wildness and roads are mutually exclusive. There will always be plenty of roads, mind you, but there may never be enough wilderness. I like that a lot. I believe that's from my man, Howie Woke. We got to get Howie on the show here one of these days. Boy, I'd be tickled pink. Woo! We got Howie Woke on the show. Wow. I mean, talk about a defender of the earth. Fantastic guy. Now, here's some more vital statistics for you about roadless areas. About 2.5% of the lower 48 states is legally protected wilderness. Meanwhile, over half of the national forest domain is roaded and developed. Less than one-fifth of the 191 million acre system is protected wilderness. All right, let's do that again here. Over half of the national forest domain is roaded and developed. So if there's 190 million acres in the national forest system, that means almost or about 100,000 acres. 100 million acres are roaded and developed. Wow. Meanwhile, only 2.5%, so less than 3% of the entire United States is designated as wilderness. Public land roadless areas disappear at the rate of nearly 1 million acres per year. Now, this brochure was written in 2005. I'm sure they're disappearing faster. But let's be positive. Let's talk about the Kelly Creek roadless area, which is also known as the Hoodoo roadless area or the Great Burn. What was that you said? You wanted to know something about Kelly Creek? Well, it's a vast 255,000-acre expanse of wild country straddling the Montana-Idaho border along the Bitterroot Divide. From the ridges on either side emanate both large and small fast-moving streams, draining into the Clearwater Basin on the Idaho side, where the majority of Kelly Creek sits. This area burned heavily in the Great Fire of 1910, leaving charred snags, grassy slopes, and expanses of subalpine tundra-like meadow, hence the name Great Burn. Noted for its rocky outcrops, cliffs, and jagged peaks, Kelly Creek boasts a varied topography with elevation ranging from 3,200 feet at the mouth of Moose Creek to peaks such as Rhodes and Williams Peak rising nearly 8,000 feet. Much of the Bitterroot Divide sits above 6,500 feet. Impressive stands of mountain hemlock and dozens of clear lakes nestled in arena-like cirques adorn the high country, with cheerful mountain heather dotting the slopes. Prior to the arrival of Euro-Americans, the native people used various natural animal crossings on the divide to wait for animals to migrate or be driven. At least four Indian trails, including the Lolo Trail along the southern boundary of this roadless area, as well as Native American camp areas, a Vision Quest site, lithic workshops, and game traps existed. Today the area is still favored country for elk hunting. In addition, mule deer and black bear abound, and an estimated 30 to 50 mountain goats trek the rock-ribbed high country along the Bitterroot Divide every year. Moose, mountain lions, and many other species, fur-bearing included, inhabit this wild expanse. Unfortunately, the illegal killing of a grizzly bear in 2007 and more than 10 unconfirmed sightings of threatened grizzly bears over the past 30 years suggest this area is essential habitat. Furthermore, lynx and several Region 1 sensitive species find Kelly Creek a hospitable environment. Kelly Creek and all its tributaries have been catch and release streams since 1970 to enhance the West Slope cutthroat trout population. 12 to 15 inch catches are not uncommon, leading national recognition to the drainage. Fish Lake, which is threatened with off-road vehicles, is important habitat for bull trout. Ironically, the Forest Service promotes motorized use in this area, and it also recommends it for wilderness. Now, the size and diversity of Kelly Creek, the variety of vegetative types and landforms, the abundance of wildlife, streams, and lakes all contribute to a virtually unlimited primitive setting for recreation in and appreciation of the wild. The vastness of this region, with 40-plus streams dissecting the area, trees and shrubs and varied mountainous terrain effectively isolates visitors from each other and provides excellent opportunity for solitude. The Kelly Creek Roadless Area is a critical biological link between the massive Selway Bitterroot Wilderness Complex to the south and the Cabinet Yak ecosystem to the north. Full protection of this regional wildland is essential in order to curb damaging snowmobile and off-road vehicle use in the Idaho side and curtail the potential for speculative mining ventures. Now, the Kelly Creek Roadless Area, my challenge to you is to go out there and visit it this summer. Whether you like to hunt, whether you like to fish, whether you like to write poetry, whether you like to camp, whether you are a long-distance trail trekker, no matter what the case is, whether you just want to go out there and sleep, my challenge is to you is to get a Clearwater National Forest map, find the Bitterroot Divide. In this case, it's going to be north of Highway 12, and you'll see a big green section on the map with barely, outside of the Toboggan Ridge roads, I believe, no roads. And that is the vast 250,000 Kelly Creek Roadless Area. And certainly it is most valuable or most high. It's certainly suited for wilderness designation. And so Friends of the Clearwater is launching a brand new website. Probably within the next couple weeks it'll be done. I know the maps, just finishing up a couple maps. There's a section on the website on the right-hand side, middle of the page, that's called Wild Clearwater Country. And then if you click to the Roadless Areas link, it'll take you to a separate page. And I have about all the way at the bottom of that Roadless Areas link, you will see the Kelly Creek Roadless Area. And click on that and you'll find a description of the Kelly Creek Roadless Area. You'll find some beautiful pictures of this vast wild landscape. And then you'll also find a map or a link to a map, courtesy of my man Jeremy Jenkins and his mad GIS skills. You'll find this great map, user-friendly map on the Kelly Creek Roadless Area. And so that website's going to be www.friendsoftheclearwater.org. That is the name of the website is not going to change the domain name, but the whole website's getting an uplift. It's getting completely redone. So very, very exciting stuff. Now, when we get back, we'll take a short music break, and we'll read a chapter from the book A Road Runs Through It. You're listening to Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
We shall return back to the
dinosaurs, we shall return. Source, we share the force of compassion and remorse. And from the source, we are conceived. And all we make, we make be. Changing, and so are we. All we hear and all we see, and from the sisters we shall learn. Yeah. We shall return back to the source. We shall return. We shall return back to the source. Shall return, turn, yon head on, head on, yon head on. Tobacco offerings are hanging from the trees as the wind swirls the sage smoke within this circle, and up throughout the overcast sky, lunar balance, cosmic splendor, and universal passion are our allies now, as we stand at the edge of the universe with outstretched hands. Onuglala, returning from a long hunt. We shall return back to the source. We shall return. We shall return back to the source. We shall return. Turn.
All right. Welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show, and have some really important news to break with you here. And Imperial Oil and Exxon, or Exxon Imperial Oil, have officially withdrew their megalod permit application with the state of Montana. And so this is just coming down the pipe, so to speak. This just broke earlier. And certainly the KRFP Evening News Report, which starts at 5:30, will have all the details for you. So do not touch that dial, the Evening News Report here. Catch it every night at 5:30, Monday through Friday, and it'll have some details and some information about this gigantic and very exciting news. Exxon Imperial Oil officially withdraws their megalode permit application in the state of Montana. So kudos to everyone that has busted their hump for 2 years now, including KRFP Moscow, covering this story, fighting to bring change, and fighting to prevent this corporate gorilla from taking over our rural highways and totally transforming our quality and way of life. So what a fantastic set of news here on the summer solstice. I mean, just rocking. So a whole nother reason, just another reason to dance naked in your backyard tonight and pray to the stars. And one more prayer can be, hey, thank you for kicking Exxon Imperial Oil out of our neighborhood. So again, check out the KRFP Evening News Report at 5:30, and they will give you some more details into this breaking story that's just coming down the pike. So good stuff. Now, with that being said, I only have about 2 minutes left on the show here. So instead of reading you something from A Road Runs Through It, I'm going to instead maybe just give you something here from the Friends of the Clearwater calendar events. Now, there's a Palouse Prairie and Earthworms Tuesday, July 10th from 5 to 8 p.m. That's going to be on Paradise Ridge here in Moscow. It's going to be hiking, exploring, and learning. Call 882-9755 for carpooling. And then you got the Wheatus' Wilderness Broadwalk, which is Thursday, August 2nd to Monday, August 6th. That's going to be at the Wilderness Gateway campground on Highway 12, ironically. It says call the Great Old Broad's office to learn more, 970-385-9577, or you can call 208-882-9755. And then Friends of the Clearwater is a Hot Summer Days Barbecue on Friday, August 24th. That's going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. That's going to be in East City Park here in Moscow. It says food and drink provided, family friendly, and then a Fish Butte hike Saturday, September 8th at the Fish and Hungry Roadless area. Pack a lunch, call for carpooling. So all those events are brought to you by Friends of the Clearwater. Check them out, www.friendsoftheclearwater.org, or give them a buzz, 208-882-9755. Hey, it's been a good show. I hope everyone has enjoyed it. Let's give you a weather report here, and then we'll be on our way. Tonight, partly cloudy with low around 48. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 87. Winds out of the east at 8 and 10. Thursday night, 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Winds out of the east tomorrow night between 7 and 10. Friday, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 83. Winds gusting out of the west on Friday between 5 and 15, getting up to 22 miles an hour. Chance of precip is 60%. Friday night, showers likely, mostly cloudy with low around 54. Chance of precip Friday night, 60%. Saturday, chance of showers with a high near 71. Sunday, small chance of showers with a high near 74. Everyone, thanks for listening. Hold on for Between the Lines.
Thanks its donors and underwriters, including
Mikey's Gyros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine such as gyros, falafel, hummus, tabbouleh, and spanakopita, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
You are listening to KRFP Moscow.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Phyllis Bennis of the Institute for Policy Studies, who discusses the Egyptian military's coup derailing their nation's transition to democracy. William K. Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri, who examines the causes of the dramatic decline in American family wealth in the years following the Great Recession. And Lorella Praley, a member of the United We Dream National Coordinating Committee, who talks about the importance of President Obama's executive order stopping deportations of young undocumented immigrants. But first we begin with a summary of some of the week's underreported news stories.
The government of Myanmar has declared a state of emergency in the state of Rakhine on the western border with Bangladesh after deadly sectarian clashes between majority Buddhists and Muslims. In recent weeks, sectarian clashes have resulted in the death of dozens of people and forced hundreds to flee their homes. Rising ethnic hostility in Rakhine began in late May when a 27-year-old Buddhist seamstress was raped and killed. Three Muslims were quickly arrested. Buddhists, who make up 90% of